Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Simon Brown, standing in for Giulietta Talivi. Joining me to unpack your stock-related questions this evening, we'll be joined shortly by Zorakhe Mguni from Benguela Fund Managers. We've got Graham Kerner from Kerner Perspective on Zoom. Should you have any questions, be sure to send them through SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Graham, appreciate the time this evening. We're waiting for Zorakhe, so it's just you and I for now. I want to kick off with some of the numbers that came through today, most notably Omnio, and the stock got hit down a fair bunch. We saw revenue up 24%, dividend up 36% in a fairly chunky share buyback. Headline earnings was up only 10. Agriculture struggling, mining booming, chemicals muddling along. Your take on the numbers, and if there isn't perhaps some value there.
Good evening, Simon. Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in quite a lot of SA Inc. stocks. I mean, if you look at, a company like Omnia, doing the basics right, as you say, mining's doing well. Agriculture, I think generally has had a good few years, but I think the chemical business maybe battling slightly to differentiate itself. But if you just take those sort of headline numbers you rattled off, generally quite positive in a very difficult environment. Sitting on a historic of 10, it really looks quite cheap, but it's like a lot of SA Inc. stocks, Simon. Nobody wants them. Everybody hates them. If you don't own bucket loads of offshore stocks, then, you seem to be in the wrong space. But there are lots of companies, I think, that have got that sort of stigma of being local, which is really not lacquer at the moment.
Local isn't lacquer right now, but you and I have been around a bit. I mean, we've sort of seen this before, and typically what we see is that, I mean, there is value, and the cliche, darkest before the dawn, or do we wait for the dawn first?
Well, look, Simon, I think I always say that I haven't got a telephone that rings on my desk when we've hit the bottom. I mean, if you think a few weeks ago, the market really, really looked grim, particularly SA Inc. when the Rand was knocking on 20's door, and there was just a lot of negativity around. I mean, there's still quite a lot of angst. We're not sure how we're going to get off this BRICS highway if there is an off ramp for us. So I think there's a lot of anxiety around. But I think it comes down, Simon, to what you want. If you're saying, well, I'm investing in South Africa because I can't take all my money offshore, then you probably just want to build yourself you're taking a bearish view on SA Inc. You go and build yourself a portfolio of things like, Richemont and BHP and, some other global giants that are fortunately listed here and some of their best in the class. And then on the other end of the spectrum is lunatics like us that say, well, if you've got money offshore and you like JP Morgan, you buy JP Morgan. If you want to buy Volkswagen, you buy Volkswagen. If you like Tesla, you buy Tesla. And if you're going to invest in the South African market, then make it count. Invest in things that you maybe can't get elsewhere in the world, and things that you can maybe be closer to. So yeah, I think we would advocate buy when you see value and when the story is good, because by the time the news improves, and you've seen it in the banks and some of the smaller cap industrials, they've moved up 10% in a fairly short space of time. But I think we're in a very bumpy phase for global markets. So. Yeah, just keep that one in the back of your mind.
Sure. And Zorakhe Mguni from Benguela Fund Managers, thanks for joining us. Let's kick off a couple of questions coming through around some of the PGM stocks. Sibanye Stillwater, Implats, we've seen them both retreating a bit. Partly, I imagine, strong rand. Partly, I imagine, also we've seen the PGM prices under a bit of pressure. Is this a bit of a sell-off, Zorakhe? Is some opportunity coming through?
Yeah, I think Simon, if you look at where we are in the cycle, these PGM stocks have come under pressure because the prices have come down quite a lot. I think the saving grace was the rand weakening, and I was thinking with the rand pulling back, we are seeing some of them also pulling back. But I think longer term, you're probably getting close to the bottom, in my view. I think there could still be a bit of short-term pain, but long-term, you're looking at things that might actually improve. I think the electricity supply has improved in South Africa recently, and if it can be sustained, I think that would be very positive for production, and that would enable them to offset some of the price movements, or at least the rand price movements. So we might see that benefiting them. But otherwise, I think the supply-demand balance remains tight with Russia out of the market at the moment.
Graham, the PGM miners, I mean, do any of them stand out to you at this point? I mean, certainly mining is deeply cyclical, and although the story's good, the prices aren't so good right now.
Yeah, Simon, I think, for me, and I must say, I've said many times we'd rather buy the diversifieds because, when you buy Anglo, it's quite a big part of their asset value, and even earnings comes out of Amplats. So you get that, but you get, some diamonds and iron ore and things thrown into the mix. But I mean, to give you an example, for the first time in a long time, we actually bought some platinums in our unit trusts, simply because I think, if you go for a lower cost production company, they'll be left standing when maybe some of the higher cost producers are washed out. And I think that's one of the key things. And I think, what Lucky was saying is the prices haven't really moved much. Obviously, in rand terms, they've moved a little bit more because the rand has been weak over some time. But the cost base has also been going up, so arguably margins are getting squeezed. So, but I think, Simon, the last couple of days and maybe today's weakness, you just got a lot of angst around. I know the US was closed, but there's a lot of angst around whether the equity markets have run too hard and what the outlook is for global growth. And obviously the platinums, I agree with what Zwelakhe's saying on the short to medium term supply demand looks tight, but we don't know what the impact of EVs is going to be and what kind of pickup you're going to get from hydrogen and other things. So I think the supply demand outlook is a little bit murky longer term. But yeah, I mean, we took a position in Amplats a little while ago because we thought, negative earnings growth is not the end of the world, particularly if you feel that the earnings will bottom not too far from now.
Stay with commodities and touch on Sasol. Certainly, we've seen oil under pressure, and yes, OPEC, sort of OPEC Plus are trying to cut production to boost that. But Brent staying at around about the mid-70s. Graham, stay with you for a sec. Is Sasol still a pure oil play, which means a stronger rand and oil in the 70s makes it less attractive, or is the chemicals part interesting?
Well, the chemicals is quite interesting, but it was one of the reasons we were quite bearish on them when they started Lake Charles, because we felt that a lot of chemicals would be coming onto the market through quite a few similar kind of projects, and the world just wouldn't be able to absorb it. So I think it is more of a chemicals play, but right now you'd probably want it to be back at a purer energy play. Yeah, but I mean, the way I always used to look at this thing is say, I constructed a very rudimentary model quite a few years ago, which proved fairly accurate, and that was what you could take the rand per barrel oil price, and put like around a 5% on that, and that would almost give you fairly consistently the HEPS. Obviously, Lake Charles and debt and things like that have thrown it out. But I think to answer your question, Sasol looks cheap if you look at what the market is expecting in terms of near-term earnings. But there's this big discount, I think, being put A on management, and not necessarily the just the leadership in the business, but I think also on the board, because let's be honest, the board was in place in large part overseeing the Sasol Lake Charles project. I think so one is the question mark over the long-term future, and of course, emissions is also an issue. But I think also there are questions about the long-term prognosis for Synfuels and whether you actually want to be in an energy producer on a 15-year view. So I think that's why, Sasol continues to look cheap in spite of rand weakness and a strong rand oil price.
Yeah, it certainly does, but I've been caught by the cheat before. So, Rocky, your take on Sasol? I mean, Graham's right. It looks cheap, but I mean, is it opportunity? I suppose is perhaps the bigger question.
Yeah, look, I agree with Graham. I think the big pressure that's been coming through, I mean, as you said, Sasol is transitioned from a predominantly energy business into a chemicals business. And I think the margins in the chemical space have been squeezed there, one by the fact that, as Graham said, you had some supply coming on stream. But secondly, I think you look at how far those margins went, whether you look at the polymers or you look at the ethylene, I mean, you can see that those margins did open up wide and that's starting to normalize. And I think in the short term, you're probably going to have a bit of pain. And I think that's why the stock is on a discount. But I think longer term, there might be opportunities where it's overdone and you might want to take advantage of it. But certainly, I think in the short term, there may be pain from an earnings point of view. I agree on the emissions issue. It's one of the big factors that I think, I don't know how they're going to resolve for that, but I think that's a major factor that's putting a discount on the stock.
Yeah, and I mean that is, I take your point. I mean, in one sense, we've got the sort of the green stocks, which maybe Sibanye becomes, but Sasol's a long way from ever being green. Quickly before we go to break, Zwelakhe, let's stay with you. Investec, a question coming through from Anthony. Comment on Investec, would you add to a portfolio? Still looks like a good investment.
Look, Investec has done exceptionally well. I mean, I think I was initially skeptical about their UK strategy, but they've seemed to have achieved fairly most of their goals there in terms of growing their book and being able to get that book at a very low level of impairment. I mean, the impairment will rise a little bit, but they've done fairly well. So I think my confidence has increased in the stock. I think the current environment might have pulled the stock back, but I think if I look out again through the next 2, 3 years, I'll probably be more in favor of holding that stock in my portfolio.
Graham, in the minute before break, Investec.
They've done so much right. I think sort of he's exactly right. You know, we all had seen them sort of, you know, go into ventures across the world and into different markets and Kensington and things, running into burning buildings. But really, they've executed incredibly well. I think the new management, also liberated in large part 91, is focused and energized. And they've got some very bold plans in the UK. So it's looking a lot better operationally and than it has for some time. But I think generally, I would agree with the, like, it's run very, very hard. And I'd probably just wait a little while, let the good news maybe catch up with the share price.
A question on Bytes, and I saw it down 18% today, but I didn't see any news. It's not a stock I watch. I don't know if either of you gentlemen have an opinion of this. Rocky, Bytes, I mean, I like the idea of having more tech on our market, but our market, I mean, they're not the sort of tech that we see in the Nasdaq, are they?
Yeah, look, I haven't seen any news on Bytes, but I think, like you say, I mean, it's positive that we have a tech business on the market. I think their business has, they've been adding some new software products that they all developed software products into their business rather than just IT services. And I think that has been quite positive, but I'm not sure if there was any news that I missed today that may have impacted on the share price.
Graham, any thoughts on Bytes?
I thought I saw something where they were talking about, you know, changes in the shareholder base. You know, that might have triggered it. But yeah, no, I don't have any specific insight on why it might have been down quite as much.
So let's then touch on Lewis, which I always used to call a bank that pretends to sell furniture. That may be the case, but they generate a ton of cash. They pay dividends. They buy back shares, and they're not buying back shares to then sort of reissue, which we see in the likes of the Facebooks and those tech stocks. Graham, Lewis, opportunity there for a stock that, I mean, it must be tough being a furniture retailer in our current market.
Yeah, I think you've seen in all the retailers, and particularly the more discretionary ones, you know, it's really difficult to move stock. Footfall into malls, for example, is pretty poor. Disposable income's under pressure. You've even seen, you know, the mighty Capitec, who, you know, was able to, you know, resist the pressure that everybody else was experiencing in impairments or rising impairments. You know, even Capitec is experiencing it. So it's one of those where it always looks cheap. You're absolutely right. It's basically a financial services company or bank that operates, you know, a front office, which is to sell furniture. It looks cheap, but I think in this environment, it's a difficult one because when you sell beds and furniture on installment, you know, you don't have a hell of a lot of security. It's not like having a bond or, you know, an asset of value. So I'm always scared of it, but I'm a bit of a coward when it comes to that.
I take your point on that. Rocky, Lewis, I mean, the trick is that we can, you might need a new bed, but you can kind of keep it for another year perhaps, maybe as well. So not only have you got not got tangible security, but perhaps you've got a declining demand.
Yeah, I think the declining demand is one thing, but I've struggled to like the stock for quite some time. I mean, as you said, it's a bank that with their furniture store attached to it, and sometimes the bank would basically fund the sales and then the money is not collectible at a later stage, but by then the revenue and the profit has been recognized in the retail business. So I really don't like it. For in the past their provisioning policies were not so great. I haven't looked at it lately, but I've never liked it for those reasons, that the fact that they rely on one side, on the bank, when times are tough, and then the impairments come through later, and suddenly by then the book is growing again, they manage to paper over the pain.
Yeah, no, I take your point on that. A question from Clyde, he's asking around Combined Motor Holdings. He points out that in a year, pretty much the share price has gone up 59 cents from 28 to 28.59, yet earnings were markedly better. Graham, this is what we were talking earlier, just as at the top of the show. It's the SA Inc., and folks look at it, and I forget, I mean, I can't remember what the PE is, but it's probably under 5 times at this point. It's probably got a dividend yield of, north of 10%. You're getting paid there in dividends. The price is just not moving.
Well, finally, if I can give an alternate, and it's a fairly big company, but if you take APSA, over the last decade, in spite of headwinds, COVID, all sorts of other things, a lot of national own goals, APSA's earnings per share has more than doubled. And over that period, the APSA share price is basically flat. So I think what Clyde is talking to is this incredible derating of the multiples that we've seen on SA Inc. stocks. So, for a company to be flat over a year, it might be frustrating, but I would say it's almost flat over 5 years or 6 years. And if you look back, 10 years, it hasn't really done spectacularly well, just like the listeds. But of course, CMH is a very tightly held stock as well, which doesn't help the story at all.
Yeah, not much liquidity. Zwaki, do you look at a stock like that and think, I might not get the share price appreciation, but I'm going to get those dividends? I mean, the dividend it paid the other day, which was, 2.40, is an 8% yield on the price. And that's just, your year-end dividend.
Yeah, look, I think it's a good dividend, but I don't know if they can sustain it. I mean, we are coming probably close to the peak of interest rates. I think they're going to see a meaningful slowdown in the volumes of vehicles that they sell. I think price inflation did kick in to help them, but I don't know if they can sustain it. But once you get over this peak of interest rates, I think that they might start seeing a pickup in volumes, and that might start giving them a leg up again in terms of both earnings and dividends, and maybe the share price will start reflecting that. So maybe not in the last 5 years, and I think Graham is right. SA Inc. has suffered quite badly in the last 5 years. And I think it might be also a reflection of that environment. I mean, they've also had shortages of vehicles at one stage due to COVID. So there's been a number of factors. But generally speaking, I think it hasn't been good for SA Inc. stocks. And I think they might actually do better once the interest rates peak, because then demand must start slowly coming back to the market.
What about Copper 360? I mean, it listed at, 4 Rand, went to 20 Rand. It's roundabout back at that 4 Rand. It is junior miner. I mean, they're basically mining trailings for copper. So, Rocky, Copper 360, or is those the sort of roller coaster shares that are best watched and left away from so we can keep our fingers intact?
Yeah, I definitely don't watch that one, unfortunately.
Graham, any insights in Copper 360? I see it's 4.40, so it's up 10% on its IPO, but well off those highs when it first listed.
Yeah, that in spite of the fact that if you look, the copper price has been quite robust relative to some of the other commodities that have shown relative weakness. But of course, you don't just have currency and copper price; you've also got just how much copper is in those tailings. So, but short answer is I haven't followed it, so I can't comment. But it's probably a fairly interesting way of playing copper in South Africa.
Yeah, I suppose it does. It gives us, I mean, there's the ETN, but this gives us that operational leverage. Question coming through, which came through earlier in the day, talking around NASPAS and process. I mean, once upon a time, the darlings of our market, and then the management decided to sort of return value to shareholders by not just giving us 10 cents, a whole lot of complexities and the like. So, Larky, NASPAS, process, I mean, they're broadly the same. There's still a discount to 10 cents, which is obviously the giant Chinese tech stock. Opportunity here, I saw they got upweighted in some indices at the close on Thursday as Richemont got downweighted.
I'll respond in a technical way by saying that if you consider the fact that they are buying back shares, so they're selling 10 cents mm-hmm. and buying back their own shares, I think that puts a strong underpin to the price. And what it means is that if you're worried about the market in the next 6 to 12 months, that might be a safe place to hide it, right? I think Tencent has weathered the storm. And although the Chinese economy is looking a bit wobbly at the moment, I think it's gone through the regulatory pain and should be stable at the current level. So I would probably say that I'll be in favor of Nasdaq. The discount is still wide. I mean, I think it's over 30%. For a combined business.
Graham, processed NASPAS, I mean, certainly they've gone through the ringer in China. That seems to be behind them, although the Chinese growth perhaps isn't as robust as many as hoped so far this year.
Yeah, I think what Lucky was saying is wrong. You know, originally when we were offered process, you know, rather than NASPAS, we said, no, we'd rather go for the double discount. We'd rather double dip, and I think that worked out relatively well. I think everything, like he said, is right. You know, buying back with cash that you create from an asset that you know is more than your current share price just makes sense. But you know, hopefully it we get to a point where the other assets, and we always sort of ignore them and just focus mm-hmm. on Tencent, maybe e-commerce and you know, so the food businesses, for example. If you look at Delivery Hero, it's been a nightmare, epic proportion. So you really do want to see the other strategies work. Yeah, because, you know, the fourth industrial revolution is underway and we'd like to be invested in a company that participates in that. I know they did cut back on their, you know, their VC kind of higher risk funding, but I still think that it's more than just Tencent, and Tencent itself is more just a gaming or a messaging business. So I think the whole thing is growing up, but I would like to see a little bit more diversification. But yeah, I mean, it continues to trade at a deep discount, and I think the likes of Tencent and the other major techs in China must have a good future, you know, when the Chinese authorities take their boot off their throat finally.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to...
What I wanted to say was, you know, that e-commerce business, I mean, I tend to put no value on it. I know there is some value in it, but I think they've spent so much money on that business. And from my perspective, it's a very low barriers to entry business. And they try whatever they can to try and make it profitable. I struggle to see how they can make it profitable. So I always put a value of zero, but when they sell it, they might realize some value there.
Okay, let's quickly go to stock picks because time has caught up with us. Lucky Sanlam.
Yeah, look, I think Sanlam has done very well, both on the life insurance and the general insurance. I think one thing that I like about Sanlam is the consistency in terms of how they manage their insurance provisions. And they've always been over-provided a little bit, very conservative on their forecast returns, and they've tended to do better than that. So you don't see them revising their actuarial assumptions a lot. That's the first thing. I think the second thing is that with the interest rates having gone up and some of these, for example, fixed income assets having been hit so hard, we might see a bit of a reprieve from those assets. We also might see a reprieve later on equities. And I think that might be a place where we might get some geared beta from the markets.
Okay, Sanlam. Graham, and you asked for some extra minutes, for the time is tight. COP, which is a classic SA Inc. industrial.
Yeah, you couldn't get more SA Inc. Obviously, they've got a plastics business. They've got a bed manufacturer. We spoke about Lewis. They've got a transport business in Unitrans. They've got a really good business in PG Bison and a few others. I'm not sure if that graph is up, but what I wanted to illustrate here is the earnings and dividend trajectory over time. So the blue line is your earnings per share, and you can see it's been going up. Obviously, 2020 and 2021, the combination of COVID and then the July unrest hurt, particularly the automotive business. But the point I'm trying to illustrate is, you know, the last year was a purple patch. We are expecting the earnings to come down, but you know what? It really just gets them back on trend. But the bottom line is sitting on like a 5 multiple and talking about a great dividend yield and a business that we believe will continue to execute well, and they're investing through this sort of difficult cycle. So it's a lunatic fringe because it's a positive, constructive SA Inc. that is doing business in the South African economy, and they're busy putting their business up. But we think it's just ridiculously cheap for the quality of business you've been getting.
Yeah, and again, some quality management, which truthfully the JSE is actually quite full of. That's all for Stockwatch this evening. Thanks to our guests, Lachim Gooney from Benguela Fund Managers, going with Sanlam, Graham Koenig from Koenig Perspective, going with COP. After this, we'll bring you Close with Bloomberg. Stay watching.